There you go. Now I can hear myself. I remember one homecoming. I was at a homecoming, and one of the guys looked over at the other guy. I was preaching the homecoming. The guy said, "I'd rather hear that man preach than eat." The other guy said, "Me too. I heard him eat." Announcement. Now this has got nothing to do with the church at all. This is, you know, our church is used as the precinct for this area, the political precinct for the Democrats and the Republicans and the Independents. We've opened it up for whoever a political party needs to use. It's also where we vote. People in this area vote at this church across the street, the Fellowship Hall. So that's the precinct. Monday, February 24th at 6:30 p.m., the Edward Democratic Party will be holding its precinct meeting at Edward Christian Church Fellowship Hall. That's not, has nothing to do with the church. It's got to do with the Democratic Party. They're having their precinct meeting here at Edward Precinct, which is the Fellowship Hall. So if you want to go check it out, it's at 6:30. You don't have to be a Democrat to be there. You just have to be interested. So February 24th at 6:30 p.m. Somebody say, "God's got this." That's right. You know, I heard about these two men talking about the secret of a long, happy marriage. Heard one guy say, "Yeah, it remains a secret." Actually, the guy said, two men were talking about the secret of a long, happy marriage. "Our marriage," said one, "is built on trust and understanding." He said, "My wife don't trust me and I don't understand her." All right. Eddie, cut that out of the video. Amen. That's right. We started this a couple weeks ago. Last week we talked about Valentine's Day. And so we're going back in. We still got a couple weeks on this. I'm excited about it because it really does. It answers a lot of questions. Thursday, we found our lab. Everybody's ever heard me talk about Maddie. Do It Afraid Maddie. Remember hearing about Do It Afraid Maddie? She woke us up every morning. She made sure we went to bed on time. She always looked out the window. So if somebody was coming up, she could see us in the window. And it's just, she was just a pleasure, a wonderful pleasure to have. Well, she'd been sick for about a month or so, but it got to where she was in diapers and we were having to feed her with a syringe. It was really, really bad, and you could tell she was hurting. And so we took her to Wilson, got an ultrasound to find out she had two tumors. And if there's two tumors, you know what it usually means. There's more. And they talked about resecting her bowel and taking out her adrenal glands and all kinds of stuff. And she's almost 11. So I said, "Linda, what do you want to do?" And she said, "Can we just let her go in peace?" And so we took her Friday and we let her go. We left her in the car and they came out to the car and we let her go. And then we took her home and buried her. And it was bad enough. But as we're getting ready to come out to her, I said, "Maddie, you're getting ready to go see Bethany." And that got Linda. Then when the people come up, they said, "Have you ever seen this before, seen something die like this?" And Linda said, "We watched our daughter, you know, die." And so she said, "Okay." And literally, it was like watching Bethany all over again, the same exact stuff. Although Bethany wasn't euthanized, still it was the same stuff. And so I thought, wow, you know, and it hurts. Man, does it hurt. But last night when I came home, instead of seeing her little head at the window looking for me, Linda had put a great big heart and stuck it in the window. Yeah, I'm still trying to get over that, and it made my head leak really, really bad. But as long as your head leaks, it won't swell. And this morning was kind of tough, but we know God's got this. But again, this is part of this. This is part of this. I said, "God, I didn't understand the timing of this message." And usually when I'm doing messages, some way, somehow, some of this will wind up applying in my life very strongly. And so this is one of those times where if anybody's ever had a special animal, pet, or somebody in your family you just love dearly and you had to say goodbye, it's just a terrible thing. We had to say goodbye to Bethany. We said goodbye a couple months later to my wife's brother who had mesothelioma. And done 25 funerals since just before Bethany's death, and it never gets any easier. It always hurts, even when I'm not even connected to the family. It still hurts because I feel the pain. Well, and so today or this week, I got a chance to say goodbye to Maddie, and I'm glad we said goodbye instead of her sitting there suffering so bad. And so, again, you never know what you're going to have to do until you do it. But mustard seed faith and nothing is impossible doesn't mean that God's going to heal every time. It doesn't mean that God's going to make it all perfect every time. When Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, does not mean I'm going to be an NBA. I can be an NBA center if I want to be. I couldn't even be an NBA water boy. What it means is you're equal to the task ahead of you. Nothing is impossible. You can say this mountain be removed. Does not mean that everything is going to go your way. God is not upstairs up in heaven with the heavenly seer's catalog and says, you place your order and we'll have it to you. Or Amazon will give it to you in 2 days. No. What it means is whatever the outcome, God always makes you more than enough through him to do what you got to do. And so here we go. We're going to get your Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the word. Matthew 8. It drives me crazy when I sit and watch these guys listen to them on the radio, watch them on television, preach a pie in the sky. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. You have to go through nothing. It's all, you know, I remember telling about Mercy Me sings Even If. And they had a special needs child. And it's just been a lot of stuff they had to go through, this special needs child. And there was times even felt like God had, for a while there, God had even turned his back on him. But then he got grips with it. And he wrote that song, Even If. God, even if you don't fix it, I thank you and I'm going to trust you, even if. It's like the three Hebrew boys said, you can throw us in the fire. And even if you throw us in the fire, we're still not going to serve you, Nebuchadnezzar, and we're not going to bow to your image. So again, nothing is impossible means God's going to give you what it takes to get through what you need to get through, and let God be God. Amen? Matthew 8:23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to call upon you at any time. No matter if things are going smooth sailing or if the things have gotten rough, we thank you, God, that you're always there. And we thank you, God, that you set us an ultimate example by your Son to show us that life many times is not fair. You're always faithful. And we thank you for that. I ask you right now to touch us, each one of us, anoint our hearts, anoint our ears, anoint us to hear what thus saith the Lord today. And Father, let me get so close to you that I hear what you're saying. Lord, I love you and I thank you for this day. And when Jesus, we pray in the church, said, look at somebody and say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us and nothing shall be impossible. Amen. You can be seated. Now we're going to go over a few clips from the last few weeks. Just a few clips. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because I want to get to today's portion. But for those that have not had a chance to see all of this, it'll be good to give you some clarification and some continuity into what this whole message is about. But again, look, God has given every man a measure of faith. Amen. God has given every man, watch this, and I'll be quick about it. God has given every man first a chore, a mission. God has given everybody a chance or an opportunity to fulfill that mission. But also with the chance, he gives challenges. which is problems. The problems are there not to destroy your mission. It's not there to make things harder, but it's there to bring out the best in you. I operate better when I'm under pressure. I operate better when I've got walls, when I've got boundaries, when I've got to, I can't just do my own thing. I know I've got to get it done. Also, he gives us confidence, enabling faith. Romans 12 and 3 says, God has given every man a measure of faith. Matthew 17 and 20, faith is as a grain of mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and it shall be done for you. Also, here's the challenges now. The challenges is, here it is. Problem number one, it was an uneasy task. It was an exhausting day. They'd been ministering. They were tired. They have no idea that they're getting ready to go to the other side and getting even deeper stuff. The problem number two is it was an uneasy time, and they're in the middle of a severe storm and an uneasy temptation. They were in a sinking ship, and they saw what they considered to be a sleeping Savior. But remember now, if you're going through something today, if something's not quite working right, how many's got things in your life that it might not be quite working out the way you expected it? Okay? Remember this, when they're on that ship, Jesus led them into this storm. They followed him right in the middle of a crisis. God's will is not always smooth sailing. Tell somebody, God's will is not always smooth sailing. Okay, we're getting ready to get into the new stuff. Here we go. I'm trying to hurry up. Here's the chance, the opportunity of faith. Faith in God doesn't make things easy. It makes things possible. Okay? So, here it is. Here's the lessons in faith. There's a difference in little faith and faith as a grain of mustard seed. So get ready. This will be the last part before we go into this week's. And here it is. Watch this. Oh, look at there. You see, what's that? Is that Peter walking on the water and Jesus picking him up? Watch this. The difference in little faith and mustard seed faith. Little faith is puny. Mustard seed faith is powerful. Little faith is confidence in self. Mustard seed faith is confidence in God. Mustard seed faith is conviction that God is bigger than my problem. Little faith is the problem's bigger than God. You say, I would never say that. We might not say that, but sometimes we act like it. Come on now. Say amen or ouch. One, amen. Because I say that sometimes too. All right, here we go. Little faith brings confusion and loss. Mustard seed faith brings conquest and gain. So here we go. Here's our new stuff. Three principles on the life of faith. Number one, I know you don't want to hear it all the time, but here's what you're going to hear anyway because this is biblical. This isn't something pie in the sky getting me to give you $1,000 seed so you can get a car. Okay? Ready? Faith must be challenged, not pampered. Wow, look at somebody say, wow. Faith must be challenged, not pampered. You know, I sat there and I noticed in my own kids, when they were coming up, if I pushed them to do better, if I allowed them to go through some things that cause pain, if I didn't just treat them, try to take them and shield them from everything. It's amazing. You know, I right now look at my sons, and one went to Afghanistan. Right now, this one here is in D.C. He's right now in the fire department trying to get his, going for paramedic eventually. But I watched these guys, and D.C. went into a fire the other night, and he come out, and another guy said, where's the rest of the guys? D.C. said, I don't know. This he told Daniel. Daniel said, that's that Linton. I won't say exactly what he called it. Okay. But anyway, about it, he said, Daddy's told us to not be afraid to accept a challenge, to step forward, to step in it, to give it all you got. I told him, see, that's not something so proud of you, son. You're doing your clinicals today. You keep on going because all their life, I never pampered them, I challenged them. And the same way, God is not pampering us, he's challenging us with everything we face during the day. Not only this, but faith is not a life absence of conflict, but of conquest in conflict. You know, somebody asked me the other day, said, I told somebody to stay out of trouble. I always say that. My wife said, you need to quit saying that. Well, I was really wild when I come into B5 or go into the detention center and go, y'all got to stay out of trouble. And they go, really? I came in Monday and they wouldn't, didn't want to get out of bed. And I said, y'all have a bad weekend? Y'all been out partying all weekend? They said, yeah, we got a pass. And they let us go out and party. No, we're just tired. Okay. Faith is not a life absent of conflict, but of conquest in conflict. And then watch this. A faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. I told y'all about that last week at the altar call, about a young man that was going through something with his child, and they said his brain was not developing, and they said, you need to abort this child. And he said, I don't feel like I'm supposed to be aborting this child, and I believe God's going to handle it. And I said, so I made that up for him. Faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. In Genesis 22, and I stuck it up there, and I put it on his desk. And every day, I said, I want you to see this every day, and I want you to say this every day, and think about Abraham and Isaac. And he did that. And I remember a couple months later when he came to me and said, my wife had that test today, and the baby's developing fine as can be. And like I told you, this has been years ago, and just a couple of months ago, I met that boy. He's about that tall. And he's a football player, and he's just as big as his daddy. Amen. So here we go. Watch this. Get ready. Only God can turn a mess into a message. Come on now. How many's got a mess in here? Only God can turn a mess into a message. A test into a testimony. A trial into triumph. A victim into a victory. Amen. So here we go. Get ready. Number one, God allows tests in our life. Did you know that? Look at somebody and say, I don't like it, but I know that. I don't like it, but I know that. Watch this. Number one, he wants you to search yourself. Then we may discover ourselves. You know, there's a lot of things I said I couldn't do until I had to do them. And once I got into trial and I said, Lord, I hope I never have to go through this. As a pastor, I get involved with a lot of things, a lot of sickness, a lot of disease, a lot of things in court, a lot of things with all kinds of people, you know, in counseling, all this stuff I encounter. And there's times where I'll say, God, I pray that I never have to go through something like this. But if I do, help me to show you as I go through it. Just like with Bethany. Bethany, she showed God the whole time. Everybody that knew her knew. She never had a victim mentality. Never. All the stuff she went through, she never had a victim mentality. And then when she got cancer at the end, she never acted like a victim. She stood strong. And all she kept saying was, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Either way I win, Dad, God's got this. But not only is it to search you, it's also to strengthen yourself. His testing will strengthen you. It'll give validation to your testimony. Don't come to me and say, you've seen God get you through a lot of things. I say, well, tell me some of them. Well, he got me out of a parking ticket. Okay, really? I'm glad he got you out your parking ticket. But right now, I'm going, I just euthanized my dog in the backseat of my car, and I sat and held my dog while they put her to sleep. I could care less about your ticket. When you say, I put my dog to sleep, something that gave me strength Tuesday night. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. And Linda Martin came up to me. And she told me about two different dogs she had. She said, one, they went through all the stuff that was supposed to be done. And even at the end, after did all the things they said would make it better, the dog still died. And she said she wished she hadn't have done that. And then she said the other dog, she went in and let it go to sleep peacefully. And she said in a couple of days, she got a peace about it. And so while Linda and I were sitting down trying to figure out what we're going to do with Maddie, I said, can I tell you something Linda Martin told me? You had no idea, sister, how God was using you Tuesday night. It gave me strength like you wouldn't believe, because you weren't talking about how he got you out of a parking ticket in front of the courthouse. You were telling about a real life situation and how God moved. And so we did what we had to do, okay? None of that, but it helps you step beyond yourself, okay? His tests destroy all of our self-sufficiency. How many saw Mighty Army this morning? The closer you move to self-sufficiency, the farther away you move from God's sufficiency. The closer you get to doing it on your own, the farther you get from God. Somebody should have told me my buttons weren't buttoned. At least the front buttons are buttoned. Y'all really appreciate that. Yeah. I'll get this one up here too. Hold on. We'll get it here eventually. Yeah. Y'all guys, if you see me looking like something's wrong, y'all please tell me. Something ain't right. You need to fix it. You're not going to aggravate me, I promise you. And this is not a fashion statement. This is the fashion statement now. All right. Romans 5:4. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. We know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops character, or develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came just at the right time and died for sinners. Let me show you something here. I love this. Going forward, when it gets tough, a test of how tough you are, but how strong your faith is. There you go. I can't even talk. Here we go. All right, get ready. A bar of iron. Let's just say we got a bar of iron. This. I'm not sure how old this is, but it's true. A bar of iron is worth $5. Okay? Here's your bar of iron. That bar of iron that you have that's worth $5, if it's molded into horseshoes, it's worth $10.50. If it's made into needles, it's worth $350. That same $5 bar. Horseshoes, $10.50. Made into needles, it's worth $3.50. Made into penknife blades, that $5 piece of iron is worth $3,285. If it's made into springs for watches, anybody want to guess? That $5 piece of iron, if it's made into springs for watches, that whole piece of iron, that $5 piece of iron, somebody give me a guess. $250,000. That one $5 piece of iron. Now, here's the thing. The more it's manipulated, the more it's hammered, the more it's passed through the heat, the more it's beaten, the more it's pounded, the more it's polished, the greater its value. Some of y'all in here, you feel like you've been manipulated, hammered, passed through the heat, beaten, pounded, and polished. But I can guarantee you one thing. It hadn't lessened your value, although you feel like it has. The more you've gone through, the higher your value is, because now you've got something. You got something to talk about. You got something you can tell somebody else about. Your test has become a testimony. Your mess has become a message. And so, you know, think about it. You want to be that $5 piece of iron? Or do you want to be that $250,000 set of springs for watches? I hear people all the time say, I want to shine, Lord, I want to shine, but you don't want them to use the Brillo pad to get you that way. I want to shine, God, let me shine, but please take that sandpaper off of me. Get rid of all my rough edges, God, but please get the file off of me. No, He's increasing your value. Now, when you're going through something hard and wonder where God is, remember, the teacher is always quiet during the test. Where is He? God, don't you see what I'm going through? The disciples, they were going through the storm. Jesus looked like He was sleeping, but they just thought He was sleeping. They didn't realize He was being quiet during the test. So watch. Principles about testing our faith. The very first principle was, of course, God allows tests. The second one, with each test comes, watch this. threats. They're unexpected. Although these guys are common, they knew that storms would come out of nowhere because the mountains, there was mountains on each side of the lake. And so they knew that storms could start and they not even see them because the mountains had them hid. And when they come over the mountain, they could come in like hurricane force winds at the drop of a hat. That's why when the fishermen fish, they always fish close to the shore. Because close to the shore, whenever that hurricane wind would come in or those storms would come in, they could get back easily to shore. So here's the threat. It's unexpected. And now they're unprepared. Although they're seasoned fishermen. How many times have you gone through something and you're thinking it's going to be just like the last trial and you're getting ready for it and all of a sudden you're going, wait a minute, this is different. Wait a minute, I thought I had my act together. This is not what I was expecting. I was expecting it to be a little easier than this because I've gone through it before. But you go through it now and you find out it's worse than it was the first time. So there's always a threat with each test. And of course there is the test. And the test is our response. How are we going to handle it? And are we going to take responsibility? Are we going to blame somebody else? It's so easy to blame somebody else. Well, you know, we'll be going through this test if that person did what they were supposed to do. We'll be having this problem if that person did what they were supposed to do. Well, I don't understand why they. Take responsibility in your test. I may not be the cause of it. I may have been the cause of it. But if I take responsibility in the solution, now I've not become a part of the problem. I've become a part of the solution. In testimony, when it's all over with, you're going to say, he was there all the time. Getting ready to close because we got some more to go and I want to let it softly sink in. Are you passing your test? That's a good question. Stop and think about everything you're going through right now. Are you passing the test or are you passing the book? Are you looking to God for more strength and thank Him for what you're going through? Or are you looking at Him and blaming Him for everything that's happening in your life? Oh, let's get it back up here. Come on back here. Where are we at? Come on, a little earlier. There was, my finger's a little slick on the trigger there. Hair trigger. 1 Peter 1 and 7, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith, it is far more precious than that mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. A lot of y'all have heard this. I'm still going to say it anyway. Some of y'all haven't. In Malachi, it says he will sit like a refiner by the fire. When the purifier is purifying gold, the refiner is by the fire. He has a ballast at his foot. He has a ladle in his hand. And he has this cast iron jug or jar, or whatever you want to call it. And he has a fire beneath it. What he does is he puts in the silver or the gold. And with the ballast, he gets the fire going. He gets the fire going and it's really, really hot. And that silver or gold begins to melt. And as it's melting, he takes his ladle. Because as it melts, it starts to boil. And as the silver's boiling, he takes the ladle because the impurities come to the top of the silver. He takes the ladle and he swipes off the impurities and he throws them away. He fires up the fire again. Impurities come. He takes his foot off the gas. As it's cooling down, he takes the impurities off with the ladle, and he throws him to the side. He gets the ballast, and he gets the gas going again, and he boils it, same process, takes his foot off the gas, so to speak, and takes off the impurities. Do you know when he knows to stop doing this? When he can see his reflection. During the heat, he can see his reflection in the silver. Some of y'all right now are wondering, why won't God stop this trial? And just maybe, it's a thought, maybe he's waiting to see his reflection in you. Wow. That's some powerful stuff. Going forward, when the going gets tough, it's not a test of how tough you are again, but how strong your faith is. The ultimate. You know, I want to write a book about Bethany. It's going to be called God's Got This. I don't know if this picture is going to be on the front page, the back page, in the middle, or where. This is not a made-up picture. When this picture was sent to me, my heart dropped. I sent it to DC, and DC wrote back and said, Dad, please, whatever you do, use that picture. Can I tell him? This is Clyde's boat. It's a 100-foot fish boat, trawler. It got disabled while it was out in the water, and all that big wind, it blew it up on the shore. It's still there. They're trying to get it back in the water. But when he sent that picture, he didn't say, why would God let this happen? If you look, what does it say? God's got this. Wow. I can't read that good. And it says Team Bethany. Thank you. Team Bethany, God's got this. Let me tell you something. If that doesn't speak volumes, nothing. Nothing will speak to you. Go ahead and put the dirt on top of you because you're gone. Wow. Some of you today, that's where you're at. You're ready. You got everything ready to go. But instead of being in the water, you're on the shore. Instead of being doing what you're supposed to be doing, you feel disabled. You got a choice to make. Are you going to sit back and cry about it? Or are you going to do what needs to be done to get back in that water and take care of business? And remember, God's got this. And of course, Team Bethany. Wow. Jeff, come up here and start playing something, bro. Play it softly. Everybody just stand. Everybody stand, bow your head. When you're going through something, I want you to change the way you're thinking about something. I want y'all to say this with me. Lord, I know this is not happening to me, but it's happening for me. I get to learn about your power in a greater way, and I thank you for it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just can't get enough of looking at that picture. It is so powerful. when we were trying to make the decision about Maddie, and I looked on the floor and I watched her. Oh, she was in pain, and it was just pitiful. She's wearing a diaper, and we couldn't feed her with a syringe. And I was working on today's sermon, and I popped up that picture. And I said, "That's right, God, you got this. You got this." Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not even sure how to even ask this, but if you've been going through something, well, nobody's looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, and you felt like it was going against you, didn't realize that God doesn't want to pamper you, He wants to challenge you. Every warrior of God was never pampered. They were always challenged. It was Goliath, the challenge of Goliath, that actually made David king. If you're going through something today and you may have been thinking that it was happening to you instead of for you and didn't realize that God wanted to challenge you, not pamper you. But now you've got a better insight and you're just needing God to help you now because your whole avenue, your whole outlook has changed while nobody's looking around. Would you just lift a hand and say, "You know what? I'm seeing it different right now. Yes, yes, I'm seeing it different. And I thank you, God." Some of y'all might be here today and you know God is allowing this, but you found it hard to thank Him in the middle of the storm. Remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, which means He's going to help you be ready for the challenge that comes to you. He's going to make you ready to be able to handle the waves that come your way. He's going to give you the ability, if need be, to step out and walk on the sea. If you're here today and you just need a good old shot in your arm because the trials are rough, the waves are coming over the boat, things aren't always looking so good, but nobody looking, every head bowed, would you just stick up that hand and say, I need God. I need Him to shore me up. Let's pray together, y'all. Lord, this is your day. I didn't come here by accident. You wanted me to hear this message. I realize that my faith must be challenged, not pampered. And I thank you that even though the challenge is here, I'm not facing it by myself. There may be times I don't see your hand, but I know I can trust your heart. And I thank you, God, that you love me enough to allow me to face challenges. Right now, God, I'm yours. Do with me what you like. I thank you for all that you've done. In the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let's sing that together. Oh, Lord. Somebody sing it with me. And greatly to be praised. Sing it. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Come on. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Remember, y'all say this, God, I thank you that it's not happening to me. This is happening for me. And that I will see my mess become a message. And I will see this test become a testimony. Because God's got this. And I know in the end, either way, I win. Give Lord another hand clap of praise. Now, Tuesday nights, we're talking about caregivers. Last week, we were really heavy into the caregiver itself. But have you ever wondered why the person you're taking care of changes? Literally, changes. That's what we're going to talk about this Tuesday night. So maybe when you get that insight of why they change and why it gets so hard, it'll give you an ability to stand a little bit stronger and to thank God a little bit better, because I can tell you, it's not fun taking care of somebody while they're fussing at you. It's not fun feeding them and even taking care of personal needs while they're arguing with you or attacking you. Tuesday night is dedicated to help you understand why such a large change in the people you're taking care of that you've loved all your life, that they took care of you, they were patient, they were humble, they were full of joy, full of peace, and now you're wondering, who in the world am I helping? Everybody's been through it. Some worse than others, but everybody's been through it. Tuesday night, come on, we're going to find out about why the change. Okay? Our hearts and minds clear? Y'all are looking good. Did you know that? Y'all heard that any today? Y'all looking good? With the exception of a couple of you, really looking good. And y'all know who y'all are, so I ain't got to point you out. Ready? Be dismissed us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to be in this your house today. And Lord, as we go forth, let us remember that you got this and you'll get us through it, whatever it may be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.